Hallelujah. Jesus, Messiah. Name above all names. Sabbath keeping without Jesus makes no sense. Vegetarianism without Jesus makes no sense. Lots of people are vegetarians. They're not going to be in the kingdom. Anything you do, religion without Jesus makes no sense. Jesus and Jesus alone. Only Jesus saves. And all of us, good ones and bad ones, all of us needs Jesus Christ. Praise God for Jesus. For those of you that are here and were not here on Wednesday and on Friday night, I just want to make a quick summary. We are doing a three-part sermon, all focused on stewards of the mysteries of God. All focused on what? Stewards of the mysteries of God. We talk about on Wednesday night God's love to us in creation. And we emphasize that the only reason why God created us is because he loves us. He didn't need us. You know, there's this song, and I have a memory to forget. There's this song that says, there's a little line that says something like this. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He does not need us, but he wants us. Sometimes we want people because we need them. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He made us not because he needed us, but because he wants us, because he loves us. Last night we emphasized God's love to us as our Redeemer. When he lost us, he came to save us. And everything that God does, he does it with a purpose. He saved us and invited us to join him in the mission of salvation, which, in my opinion, is God's prime job until Jesus returns. All the Trinity is involved in your salvation and mine today. And for me, when we may have a lot of things to do, but what is most important to us, we want the best that what we have be involved with us, right or wrong. If this is God's prime mission, and he invites you and I to be with him, it's because he really trusts us. Oh, there's so much I could say, but I need to get into the message for today. Last night we spoke about the Sabbath in relation to our creation and redemption. It is very clear that the Bible teaches us that when God finished the creation of this world, he established what? He established the Sabbath. And when Jesus died on the cross, when he pronounced, "It is finished," and that is a complete message. I have a whole sermon on that phrase alone. It is finished. What does that mean? In essence, the Greek means that the price, it's really in Hebrew, telestai, the price has been fully paid. You and I don't need to do nothing to be saved. We just need to accept salvation in Jesus Christ. I was born in this church. I had a great mother and father. My father became a Seventh-day Adventist when he was 17 years ago. And that's early in the past century. My father lived till 96 years old, basically. And my mother a little past 95. So don't worry. I'll be around for a while yet. But Adventism lost its focus when we became, repeating the words of Ellen White, so rigid, so legalistic, so self-righteous, that we were as dry as Gibraltar rock. There is no flavor in religion if Jesus is not the center. There is no joy in being a Christian if you can't rejoice in your salvation in Jesus Christ. We are here to lift up Jesus Christ. What does the Sabbath tell us? It tells us that God, who created this world, is able to sustain this world. It tells us that the God who created you and I is able to sustain us. You don't need to worry, Jesus said, over food, over clothing, over anything. Seek God and his kingdom first, and everything else will be added unto you, because my God is able to supply all your needs. It tells us that you don't need to work for your salvation, because Jesus is our Redeemer. He's our Savior. And the message of the cross is simply this. There are two types of people in the world. Those two types of people were hanging on either side of Jesus on the cross. Both of those men were thieves. Both of them were sinners. But one accepted Jesus by faith, and Jesus assured him that he would be with him in the kingdom. What good thing did he do? We usually say the good thief. I say he wasn't even a good thief, because they caught him. But in the hour when even his disciples fled and lost their faith and their trust in him, this dying thief on the cross saw in Jesus Christ his Savior and Lord. That is faith. And we are going to be saved ultimately by our faith in the power of Jesus Christ to save us. Amen? Today, we want to run. Stewards. And I really don't need this, because I'm not going to use it. Thank you very much. But this is so nice here. I am a traveling light. My iPad and my flash drive. That's all I brought. Even though I'm of the other generation. I don't text, because it takes me half an hour to write two lines. Besides, I don't text because this type of communication is really impersonal. I wish we could talk more about the Sabbath and our salvation. Brethren, the Sabbath is not for us to spend the day in church from one meeting to another. That is not resting on the Sabbath. I wish we could establish a system where we are not so selfish. And everything for God must be done on the Sabbath because during the week I'm too busy. But some other time, if the Lord allows it, we'll share that. Today, the point is we are stewards of what? Of the mysteries of God. Love in the mystery of our participation in evangelism. In other words, what is the purpose of the church today? Jesus said, Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So, based on that reality, go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe how many things? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's pray. Our God, we are here because we want to not only listen to your voice through your word, but we want to follow where you lead. Send your Holy Spirit to impact us today, not only with your love in saving us, but with your love and your trust in allowing us to be engaged in the mission that presently is dearest to you, the saving of the lost. May we have such a team here in the church in Wayne that nothing or no one could divert us from what is the main object of our mission, to seek with Jesus and to save the lost. Bless us to this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are saved to what? Saved to evangelize. The purpose of the church again. And this gospel of the kingdom must be what? Preached in all the world for a what? Witness unto who? All men, and then what? Are you longing for the end to come? Well, you have a part to play. Do you believe everybody in Wayne have learned about the coming of Jesus Christ? Everybody knows about it? No. Until everybody knows of God's love to them and his saving grace, we still have something to do because we are saved to evangelize. Purpose of the church. Now, what it says? All things are of who? God. Who is speaking here? The Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. All things are of God. And this is right after verse 17. As Seventh-day Adventists, we most of us memorize verse 17. Verse 17 says, anybody remember? Verse 17, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. If any man is in Christ, he is a what? New creature or new creation. All things are, and all things are become new. I don't have time to go into that. But the emphasis here is, as we look into this context, is that when we are in Christ, we become new because Christ renews in us daily. We become more and more like Jesus, and we do and behave more and more like Jesus. Which is the greatest mission of Jesus Christ? Now, all things are of who? God. And what did God do? He reconciled us to who? To himself through who? Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of what? We need to remember the historic context when we study the Bible. Reconciliation, what does that say? If I tell you, when I went home after church last night, my wife and I were reconciled. Well, we were reconciled in the sense that we got back close to each other. But we weren't fighting before. We were separated in the sense that I came here and she was still there. Reconciliation means we got back together. Who are we separated from? What separates us from God? One single thing, sin. Who has the solution to sin? You or me? So why we allow the devil to fool us that if we work harder and if we try harder, we will be saints? And we have brothers and sisters in the church that are looking at every little point to make sure that you cross the T and you put. And I have found some of those brethren that have a hard time to even smile. Much less to have a good laugh. Their lives are bitter. They live criticizing. As a good old preacher used to say, they have become so heavenly that they are of no earthly use. They are bitter and they make you sour. Christianity is about joy in Jesus Christ. Amen. Your reconciliation and my reconciliation was done to God through Jesus Christ. Not your merits, not my merits. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that reconciled us. But God reconciled us. I told you already, God does not do anything without a purpose. He's not only wanting you and I to be with him in the kingdom. He wants you and I to work with him for others to be in the kingdom. Because that guy out there that is so obnoxious that you don't want to see him, you can't stand that lady, God still loves them. And there is no power on earth or anywhere else in the universe that is stronger than love. I come from Costa Rica, as many of you know, and my country does not have an army. We eliminated, in fact, they eliminated the army in Costa Rica 3 years after I was born. Somebody is looking, when were you born? There was a revolution in Costa Rica and they eliminate the army after the revolution. And the money that they used to spend on the army, which normally is the area of the government that spends the most money, they invested into education. And that transformed Costa Rica in a few years later in one of the most literate countries in the world. I remember when the government of Costa Rica was investing 25% of their budget in the Ministry of Education. When the law was your children had to be in school, free school. School was free from grade school to high school, and the police had the right to ask this child why he was not in school and go to the parents and say, your son, your daughter needs to be in school. All right? So we don't have an army. But you may not agree with me, but I love history. And wars have never solved any problem. After they kill sometimes thousands or millions, like in the case of World War I and II, the brethren got together, they sat around a table, and they drew up a peace treaty. Why didn't you do that before you kill up so many people? Reconciliation is to be united greatest power of God is to bring unity. Hello, did you hear me? So there are churches that believe the more they can fight is the more they are illustrating their godliness. I remember going to a board meeting and the brethren spent time telling us how good they were at fighting as they were trying to intimidate somebody. No. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen? Now, he continues to say that God gave to us the what? Read in the text again. Gave to us what? Can you imagine that God has given you and I the opportunity to work with him to bring about peace? Listen, I've been a pastor for many, many, many years. And one of the greatest joy I have had is to be able, I've done a lot of family life evangelism. I remember in the city of Bogota, I did a series of evangelistic meeting. And one night, and I used to preach two sermons every night, because even though they had a big auditorium plus the church, there were so many people that I had to do two sessions every night. One night when I got through 11 o'clock, more or less, that was the second service finished, a lady came to me. Her husband was one of the individuals that sang in the choir. They had two beautiful little kids, and they were at strife. The church was also divided, some supporting some and some one supporting one. The family was divided. And the lady, who was not regularly attending, she said to me, "Pastor, I need to talk with you." That hour, after the meeting was over, I went over to their apartment. And I emphasized one thing. I don't care what the church brethren tell you. I don't care what your in-laws tell you. I don't care what your parents tell you. You both are going to be together because you decide to be together. Because you have become one in Jesus Christ. A year later, I had to pass through the city again, and I asked for them, and they told me they are together, joyful and happily. There is no joy like helping people to love people that you ought to love. Amen? The devil is in the war of dividing. God is in the struggle of reconciling. Remember, whenever we are fighting to divide, we are on the devil's side. When we are fighting to unite, then we are on God's side. Because God is a God of unity. So he has invited us to join him in the mission of reconciliation. Now, how did God reconcile us in Christ Jesus? Verse 19, what it says? To wit, that God was in Christ what? Reconciling the world unto himself. How? Come on, I'm not hearing you. How? Not what? You see, the God that the Bible reveals to me is a God that rejoices, enjoys mercy. It's not a God that they say, okay, you did it, you got it, hallelujah. No. He simply says, because you accept my son Jesus Christ as your savior, your sins are cast in the bottom of the sea. Not in the sea, in the bottom of the sea. I had the privilege to be on a little island in the South Pacific named Palau, very special island. Close to that area, they tell me there is one of the deepest part in the ocean, 7 miles deep. Scientists say you can't go down there, because even if you sent a submarine down there that was made of iron, the weight of the water would just smash it to pieces. Well, my God says, I am throwing your sins in the bottom of the sea. I will remember them no more. And besides throwing them there, a good old preacher said, he sticks up a big sign saying, no fishing. Why are we afraid of God? Why are we terrified because he's coming? Or why are we? No. God loves us. He has demonstrated that nothing is dearer to him than you and me. And he wants us to join him. Listen, verse 20. Paul said, so we are what? Therefore we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. I had the privilege when I was younger to be the Council of Costa Rica and Belize where I was working as a pastor. It wasn't a paid job, but it was a privileged job. With that passport that I had, that document could do wonders. I remember I was the personal ministry, those days was the lay activities director for the Belize mission. We went with Pastor Israel Leito. Some of you may have heard of him or know him because some of you are from Inter-America, and he became the president of Inter-American Division. But then he was the director of youth and personal ministry activities of the Central American Union. And so we went together to Colombia. We were going to Cali to the Lay Festival in Cali, Colombia. And in the city of Bogota, we had a problem. The custom officers... Leito was traveling with a singing group that he had that their name was Voces Adventistas, Adventist Voices, and they sang very beautifully. Leito himself is a very good singer. And so they had all their equipment. And the guys from customs say, these equipment cannot leave here unless you leave a deposit or you pay the taxes. The money for the deposit was more than the taxes, but if you left that money, they would give you back when you were leaving if you brought the equipment. The problem is all the money all of us had together was not sufficient to pay what they were to leave as a deposit. The second thing is we couldn't pay the taxes either. And they were there for about 20 minutes. And one of the officers that was talking finally said, we have no assurance that these equipment will leave Colombia when you leave. And at that moment, I took out my passport and I said, I'm the Costa Rican consul. These men are traveling with these people are traveling with me, and I want to guarantee you that every single piece of equipment will leave the country. He looked at the passport, he gave me back, and he said, go. You are an ambassador for Christ. Jesus said, when you are going in my name, I will be with you. Hello? Why be afraid? Nobody can stop you. God said, when I open the door, nobody can close it. When I close the door, nobody can open it. Don't let the devil or anybody else fool you that you are an insignificant nobody. You are a special somebody to God, and I could spend another 2 hours bringing verses from the Bible to emphasize that. And when you are on his mission, trust me, you have become a power tool in the hands of God. And the greatest power is seen when sinners are transformed into saints. I did an evangelistic meeting in Cuba many years ago. And God blessed us abundantly. In a little church, we ended up baptizing 180 odd people in 3 weeks. One of the gentlemen we visited with prior to baptism. He said, Pastor, I used to go on special missions for the government. Not even my wife knew where I was going. And the officers would tell me, if anything happens to you, we don't know you, we never saw you. Can you imagine what kind of missions those were? I can imagine there were missions of death, not missions of life. But God has given you and I the privilege to be on missions of life. You are my ambassador. You have no idea the power these individuals have. But ambassadors, because they are important, they are always in danger. Are you getting me? So they usually have bodyguards. The more dangerous the situation, the more protected. Hello. You want me to tell you something? Psalm 34, verse 7 tells me, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear and delivers them. And may I say to you today, have faith, because one single angel of God can give you a better protection than all the army of the United States. Why do we allow the devil to intimidate us? Go, because I'm with you. And if I'm with you, success is guaranteed. We are saved to evangelize. Now here comes our key text for today. Can you read with me? Let a man so account us as of what? Ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be what? Faithful. What is Paul telling us here? I want people to know that I am a servant of who? I'm a servant of God. Every servant must know what is his responsibility or her responsibility, right or wrong? And Paul wants everybody to know that he's not only a servant of God, but he's clear on what his is mission. What's his mission? What's his mission? Don't you don't have to try to find a word. When we go to the word, we allow the word to speak. What he says is his mission? And stewards of the what? Mysteries of God. Hello, I did not choose the title this morning. Paul wrote it 2,000 years ago. Our mission here is to be stewards of what? The mysteries of God. You see, when we use the word stewardship in the Adventist church, everybody start looking and thinking about tithes and offering. The devil has been successful. It's almost a bad word to say we are going to have a series of stewardship meetings. Oh no, I will find something else to do. Pastors have told me, don't say we're going to have a, he said, say we're going to have a week of revival, anything, but don't say stewards. Not realizing that being stewards of God is one of the greatest gifts and the greatest demonstration of his love to us. Who would leave their business to somebody that they don't trust? I know I'm going to get in trouble with time, but let me say this. When God created this world, and you weren't, many of you weren't here on Friday night, he gave man this world Psalm 115, verse 16 says, "The heavens is the heavens of God, but he gave to the Son of Man this earth." I'm not inventing. This is what God says. He didn't create us because he needed us. He had so much that he wanted to share with us. Why would he give everything to us? Put everything under our authority to govern. Adam could speak to the animals and they would obey. They understood him. And one of these days, you know, my wife, I have a wonderful wife, but she, I tell her over and over, I just can't understand you. And ladies tell me that is normal. You don't need to understand us. You just need to love us. My wife is afraid of little insects. You hear her shout and you believe something terrible is up. No, just a roach. Now, we were in Thailand. We were in a special park. And at one point, there was a cage with two huge Bengal tigers chained. And the gentleman in the cage said, "Do you want to come in and hold the two tigers' tail and take a picture?" And she was jumping like a kid. "Yes, yes, yes." And I'm like, "Where did you come from?" And before I knew it, she was inside. I said, "I'll stay outside and take your picture." And I have a couple of pictures with her holding the two tigers' tail. Now, she's telling me now that when she gets over in the kingdom, she's going to have two pets, a monkey and a Bengal tiger, two favorite animals. Adam had all power over the animals. God gave everything for him to have dominion over. I can't go into more, but I want you to remember that. When we talk about being stewards of the mysteries of God, there is no mystery as far as I'm concerned in tithe and offering. That's mathematics. Am I right, Brother Wikowski? He used to be my treasurer in Elizabeth Church. It's mathematics. There's no mystery in that. If there is any mystery, it's how in the world when I return a 10% and I give another 10% for offering, my money seemed to stretch farther. That's just God's blessing. The mystery that you and I need to share is not tithe and offering. The mystery that you and I need to share is the mystery of God. And by the way, this word, when I say mystery, what does that mean to you? Secret, right? Secret. Something that we don't know. And so I waited till today to explain that to you. When Paul used that word that is translated mystery, he's not talking about something that we don't know. Because how in the world you're going to share what you don't know? Nobody can give what you don't know. Paul uses the word mystery in the sense it is something that we would not know unless God revealed it to us. I would not know that my ancestors were not some kind of an insect or some kind of an animal or apes back there if God did not reveal to me in his word that he created me in his image. I would not know. I would not know that one day Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, came, was born in a manger, died on a cross to save me. I would not know. Unless God revealed it to me, I would not know that all heaven, the whole Trinity, is working for your salvation and mine today if God did not reveal it to us. I would not know that the great ministry of redemption is the central focus of God's work today unless he revealed it to me in his word. So what you and I need to proclaim everywhere we go as stewards of God is not tithe and offering. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking down tithe and offering. I'm saying that's not the focus of the message. Did you get me?
focus of the message is, regardless of how you may feel today, God loves you. He created you. Regardless of what you have done, my Bible tells me that my God is able to save to the utmost. I'm here to share with you about the life of a man named Saul. And you read to them, for instance, the first verses of chapter 9 of the book of Acts, where St. Paul is very breathing. In Spanish, the translation is, he breathed. Every breath he was taking was a menace to God's people. The greatest persecutor probably ever. A man that hated the name of Jesus Christ and was ready to use all the power he could get to wipe out every Christian that existed. And one day, Jesus met him on the Damascus Road and transformed him from the greatest persecutor into the greatest preacher. A man that now was willing and declared, I don't want to know anything among you. The only thing I want to know is Jesus and him crucified. I'm not ashamed, he told the Romans, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the mystery we need to share. God loves you. He died to save you. He's coming back soon to take you home. Are you ready? Peter says, as every man hath received, as every man hath received the what? The gift. Even so minister the same one to another as what? Good stewards of the what? What Paul calls the mysteries of God. Peter calls it the manifold grace of God. Yesterday I was called to do a funeral of someone that I don't even know tomorrow. And I told my wife, I guess the pastors are gone to, those that are not gone yet will be going tomorrow morning to Oshkosh. And so they asked me to go do this funeral. Funerals are usually sad. But I always try to remind people that death, are you hearing me out there? That death is a gift of God's love. And they like, what would happen if we were eternally sick, in pain, in agony, and we could not die? Yes, it is our enemy. The Bible says that is our last enemy. But even that enemy is what? Defeated in the life that Jesus promises to each and every one of us. Because this death is not real death. It's just a sleep, awaiting on the glorious resurrection morning. Share with people, even in death, that is not the end. This is not the last place that this person is going to be. If they died in Jesus, they will raise in Jesus, and we will live forever with Jesus Christ. What a blessed hope. I love to share inspiration. This comes from the Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary. He is responsible to God for his treatment of and attitude toward those in darkness about him. Many times as Christians, and may I add, Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we look down on others. instead of extending a hand to transform them. Because if they are down there, it's because the devil has them down there. And we are here to unite with God's powerful arms to redeem them back to Jesus Christ. Whether, education, 137, whether we recognize it or not, we what? We are stewards, and we are supplied from God with what? Talents and facilities, and placed in the world to do what? Work every opportunity God gives us. The problem is the opportunities come and go, and we don't realize it. See, when I was growing up, you go to do missionary work. And the church used to do, like, and I'm not against what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. You know, I am living where I'm living in tranquility now for 21 years. And very seldom I see an Adventist touching at my door. Couple of times they come to say, Pastor, we're doing so, and can you contribute to so. But Jehovah's Witnesses have been there several times. Even though they know I'm a pastor, they still come. Hello. I never turn them away. The talents, the abilities that God has given to you is primarily to help build up his kingdom. I didn't expect to hear a hearty amen on that, because we think the abilities that we have is primarily to build up a good bank account, a good retirement fund. And I'm not against the retirement fund. I'm not against a good bank account. But I want you to remember this. If you forget everything else I say during this series of three meetings, don't forget this. All other blessings that God gives us, all the material things that God gives us on this earth, is finally going to burn up in hell. Those things that are not tangible are the ones that are eternal. But we are so overwhelmed to get those that are tangible that we forget what Jesus says. If we are not capable of taking care of that which perishes, Gospel of Luke, how can we give you what does not perish? We are stewards of God. And as stewards of God, our spiritual and the spiritual well-being of others should be our prime objective. Is that too hard to soak in? Are you with me? I don't know what happened. Okay, there you go. Peter says, knowing that you were what? Not redeemed by corruptible things like what? Silver and gold. But by incorruptible. He says that, I don't know what's going on. Let me see if I go this side. Okay. But we were redeemed by what? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing, absolutely nothing can compare. No, there is no price. We could not, all the treasures of this world, everything that is in this world, could not pay for one drop of Jesus' blood.
purpose of the church is that we should go and make disciples. The purpose of the church is that we should evangelize. The purpose of the church is for us to do everything. 1 Thessalonians reminds us, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a what? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then he says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, are in the clouds, and we will meet with the Lord in the air, and we will what? Be always with the Lord. And we are redeemed to what? Come on. We are redeemed to what? You may be hungry, but do you have enough energy? You're redeemed to what? Reign. To reign. God did not make you to be his servant. God did not make you because he needed you to work with him or work for him. God made you and I to have dominion on this earth like he has dominion in the universe. When we sinned and we lost the image of God, then we became a danger to God's creation. And instead of protecting in a loving, caring way God's creation, we have destroyed God's creation in our selfishness. Jesus says, I'm coming back to destroy those who are destroying my world. But those of us who by the grace of God have allowed Jesus Christ to transform us back through the process of redemption into his likeness and image. When he comes for the second time, he says, and has made us kings and priests for our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation repeats this over and over. And has made us kings and priests to his God and the Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And because you are Laodicean church, I don't have this up there, but if you go to Revelation 3:21, I didn't. Revelation 3:21 says, anybody want to read it? Wake up, we're going, we're finishing. Revelation 3:21 says, what is going to happen? If. God does not want us in the new earth because he needs somebody to take care of stuff. Wants us to enjoy reigning with him. Every kingdom on this earth has subjects. But the kingdom that my God is setting up will only have King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and then we will be the kings that will co-reign with Jesus forever and ever again. We were created to govern. We are saved to evangelize. We are redeemed to reign with Jesus forever. Amen. Glory, glory, hallelujah to our God. New heaven, new earth. I just want to emphasize this concept. When God created this earth, every day he looked at it, and he said, this is what? Good. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, sixth day. Very good. A lady told me once in a women's ministry meeting, she said, Pastor, God said it was very good after he created Eve. And I said to her, I believe Adam thought the same thing. You know what? I think when God says it was good,
It was very good. It was very good indeed. Amen? But I have news for you. God picked up his briefcase or whatever, a suitcase, whatever you want to call it, and he went back to heaven. It was very good, but it was not good enough for him to stay. When he recreates this world, hello, are you with me? When he recreates this world and he looks at it, he's going to say, this is so good, I'm staying here. And if God is staying here, I want to be here. God's purpose for you to reign with him will be fulfilled. Sin cannot change God's plan. It may delay it, but God's purposes will be fulfilled. You and I will reign with him because he always wanted you and I to reign with him. But for us to reign with God, we need to be like God. Amen? So, Paul says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither of it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? Do you think he really loves you? Nothing in this world can compare with what God has in store for you. A world where everything is new. You need to join God's people if you haven't done so before. Enter in through the watery grave of baptism, which is a symbol of a change of life. Speak to the leaders here. And for those of us that have been members of God's people for a time, please remain faithful. Please remain faithful. It is not enough for you and I to come to Jesus. Did you hear me? Some of you are looking at me now. It is not enough for you and I to come to Jesus. We need to stay with him. Because without him, we can do nothing. The race is not for the swift. The race is for those that remain until the end. Blessed are those who overcome in Jesus Christ. Because they will sit on his throne and they will reign with him throughout eternity. How many of you today want to join with me to thank God that he has made us the stewards of the mysteries that only we understand because God's Spirit has revealed it to us. His love in our creation, his love in our redemption, his love in joining us. You know, God's love is incredible. When Eve followed Satan, she rejected God and accepted Satan. That is what we call treason. Traición. Have anybody betrayed you ever? Psychologist tells us that when that happens, I don't only don't trust the person that did it, but I lose a degree of trust in everybody else. Here is my awesome God. Listen to me. Here is my awesome God. Eve betrayed him. But God never lost his trust in her. When he came, he said, in your seed. Hello. He still trusts you and I to join him in the greatest mission of salvation. What a God. What an awesome God we serve. I want to thank the group that sang Messiah. Emmanuel, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, you and I will reign with him throughout eternity if we live for him here the few years we pass through. Commitment. Are you willing today to say, God, there is one thing I want to live for from now until the end, and that is to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We are not going there as servants. We're going there as what? Rulers. That's what we were created for, to rule. Amen? Do you want to make that commitment? Would you stand? We have a closing song, but I want us to sing this little chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Are you going to play for us, Jenny? Can you play that without? Are you have it in your head? Do you need the music? This side.